for people who don't know a lot about what this experience is like whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot also about the physical elements,
right,
and just the plain old psychological elements and the unraveling, the psychological unraveling that happens. I mean, obviously, I guess that makes it just a fuller experience than what you were trying to portray.
I think so. And I think, you know, I wanted to express to people and to communicate just how difficult that experience is. And you know, so that they, if they weren't already, they would be aware what it is we're asking young people to do when we send them off to fight. It's not only the grave risk of injury or death. It's physical exhaustion, it's mental exhaustion, it's, you know, a lifetime of grief. For some people, a lifetime of difficulty. They never really get to come back to the person that they were. So I wanted to make sure that there was a kind of a complete picture of at least this one person. I certainly don't claim to speak for every soldier or to speak to the, you know, the soldier's experience writ large, but I just wanted to provide an example of what it might be like for one young man, a boy really, who went through a situation like that. And so that people would understand, you know, this is what we could be asking our young men and women to do when we send them to fight. And is it worth it?
So you did have a point of view then. You know, I'm reading this whole thing and I'm thinking, you know, this is the clearest picture of war that I've ever read. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, you thought it was important to tell this story. But now what you just said is that you also thought maybe it was important that people know what we asked our people to do.
I think so, yeah. And again, that goes back to that question that people asked me all the time. What was it like? I think they, you know, I think there's been a lot of great journalism. Information has been available about the war from the beginning. But there was some aspect of that that wasn't getting through to people. There was something that they needed kind of filled in. So they were asking this question, and I think they really were asking, what did this experience do to you? How did it change you? What are the consequences that we're not hearing about on the news? What are the consequences that we're not reading about in the newspaper? There was some other element that I felt like I had an opportunity to talk about, you know, not necessarily to answer that question, but to say, you know, look, even if I can't say definitively what it was like, here's one way of looking at it. Here's one picture that might show, you know, just a fraction of it.
You know, we try to say thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. We try to say this and that. And in this particular case, Bartle in particular, you know, that only sort of serves to intensify his pain in a way. Is that generally an inane thing to say? Was that for him a difficult thing? I was trying to figure out maybe what you meant by that.
Well, I mean, I think it can be complicated by the context. I mean, in the case of Bartle, every time he hears thank you, and, you know, and this in a way reflects my experience and a lot of the experience of a lot of the veterans that I know. When you say thank you, it is both appreciated and very difficult to hear. So you appreciate the fact that people are trying to acknowledge what you've been through really on their behalf or in their name. But it also makes you think of all of the things that kind of make up what they're thanking you for. You know, they're thanking you for those terrible hot days in the summer. They're thanking you for having to endure and witness and sometimes participate in violence that will stay with you forever. So it's a really complicated set of emotions that thank you can elicit. So I, again, you know, it was trying to kind of map out that complexity in the best way that I could. You know, and again, it's going to be different for each person, but the people I've talked to, there has been a consistency in the confusion that gesture can bring up. So again, it's, you know, I wouldn't discourage people from expressing their appreciation to veterans, but just to be aware of that it's not as simple as, you know, when you get the you're welcome back, which I'm sure most people do, it's, there's a lot more behind that than a simple you're welcome.
Is maybe part of that just because we can't have any conception of what that thank you, where you've been.
I think so, and I hope, you know, for people who read the book, that they might have a clearer picture of what it is, you know, when they go up to somebody and say thank you, they might understand what it is that they, you know, and the kind of depth of pain that a lot of these people are in, the difficulty that a lot of these people have had coming back, that you know, they're aware of what they're thanking this person for.
In my opinion, I mean, you did achieve that. It was almost scientifically accurate without being clinical. Mm. Do you think like that? Or was this just the process of a lot of hard work and a lot of good writing?
Well, certainly there was a lot of work. You know, I went through many, many drafts of the book. You know, but I mean, I guess the kind of parameters that I set out for myself, you know, I thought about the scale of the story that I was trying to tell. I wanted to stay close to the narrator. I wanted to focus on the small things, the essential elements of the story and of what the characters were going through, what the environment was like. So I wasn't really trying to tell a kind of comprehensive big picture story, and certainly not like a sweeping epic or anything like that. So I did try to focus and to keep my perspective as the author of the book kind of very tight around this group of people and what they were going through. And I felt like I had an obligation to, at least to myself, to get it right the best I could in my own mind, whatever that means, to get it right, you know, just to make sure that when I, you know, if I was going to put my name on this and have it go out into the world, that it could be something that I knew I did my absolute best to get it right. I mean, I also write poetry, and there's something different about, you know, revising fiction. There is, or at least I discovered, the kind of, you know, the pleasure of work, the pleasure of difficult work. Very often it didn't have that same kind of feeling. For instance, you know, when I'm writing a poem, very often it will come quickly. There is a kind of feeling of inspiration. And that happened a lot in the writing of The Yellow Birds too, but there were long stretches where I felt like I was, you know, the way a woodworker is kind of just stripping away. And so there was something that I really appreciated about the process, of revision. It was satisfying. Absolutely.
Getting back to the whole idea of your being able to describe things that people never read about before or been exposed to, mm-hmm. One of the things that meant something, kind of brought it home to me, is when I think it's Murph, I think maybe a journalist is asking him what war is like, and Murph mm-hmm. says it's like a car accident, except that it continues on and on.
Right.
And, it, you know, it is that kind of, I can relate to that.
Right. Well, again, it goes back to that question that people ask me, the what is it like? I focused on that, you know, that idea of kind of analogy of likeness, and I took it seriously. Most people who asked that question were sincere. They wanted to understand, and I appreciated that desire to understand. That meant a lot to me. That felt like somehow that was, you know, kind of breaking down that barrier that I felt. Very powerfully. So I looked for opportunities to find analogies like that, to find ways that people could enter into the experience. And thankfully, I haven't been in many car accidents. But thinking of that moment of recognition when you feel like this is going to be bad, and I don't have any control over what's going to happen. As I'm sure many people understand if they've been in a car accident. And that feeling does seem to approximate this kind of feeling of powerlessness and the danger that's always present. And so in that respect, I looked for opportunities like that where I could say, you know, you do actually know what this is like to the reader. You know, you do understand what this is like in a way. And you can understand it, and you know, this idea that some experiences are so extreme that we just can't share them is not true. It's incorrect. You know, I've always gone to literature to cross those boundaries, to try to understand the experience of another human being, whether it's, you know, something by Virginia Woolf. You know, I don't know what it's like to be, you know, a woman in the early 20th century, but I can understand it. I can kind of enter into that consciousness. I can enter into that experience in a way that other forms of art maybe don't provide as well as the written word. There's just something about it that I trust in a way, and I think a lot of other people feel the same way about books.
I think, yeah, you say, you know, that's sort of breaking down the myth of you can't feel my pain, and you say in here at one point, you know, pain's all alike, just the details are different.
Right.
Obviously, you really believe that.
I do. No, I do really believe that. No. I think that, you know, even if we look at it physiologically, just think about when you're terribly sad. You know, there are kind of physical things that are happening that are exactly the same for everybody. The feeling in the chest, the kind of welling up that you feel. Everybody understands what that's like. We share that. It's part of being a person. And so, you know, my kind of project or the thing that I hope to do as a writer is to talk about those things that I share with other people, whether it's through poetry or through characters that I'm creating. And hopefully when people pick up the book, if it's an experience that they don't share, they'll find something that they recognize in that. You know, in a way, it's, you know, it reminds me of this expression that I heard in the Army, many hands make light work. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think there's something about, you know, being a person is extraordinary and it can be beautiful and magical, but it can also be very difficult, and people go through tragedy and hardship, and there's something about feeling like you can share that with your fellow human being that's, you know, the most rewarding thing that I've ever been a part of. And for me, that's always happened, whether it's as a reader or as a writer, it's always happened with books and with language.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.